Today on Growing Through Grace.
Paul's prayer begins to make a lot of sense. Jesus might be at your home, but is he at home in your home? Does he have the keys? Does he decide at night what you're going to do, what you're going to watch, where you're going to go, how you're going to spend your time?
Listening to Growing Through Grace with Pastor Jack Abelin of Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California. Is God at home in your heart? As we pick up where we left off last time in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, we'll join Pastor Jack as he addresses that very question, and then further takes us through Paul's prayer for the church and for all believers. Our teacher will end today's message with the benediction that's found in verses 20 and 21 that you won't want to miss. So let's join him now. Here's Pastor Jack.
All right, leave the library. Let's go to the kitchen or the dining room. Appetites, desires, what's cooking? What are we craving for? What's regularly on your spiritual menu? You know, that mixed multitude that came with Moses out from the captivity in Egypt, they always were craving for the things of the world, the former things. Numbers 11, oh, we remember the leeks and the onion in Egypt. Oh yeah, that was great. And yet, when you get to that portion of your life, those desires never are satisfied. That craving is never helpful. I think Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7, the longing of the soul is never satisfied when the labor of man is for his mouth. Never satisfied. So Jesus wants to be the Lord of the kitchen. He said there in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or your body, what you're going to put on. Isn't your life more than food, clothing? I think it was Psalm 107 where it says, he satisfies a longing soul, filling the hungry with goodness. So the Lord wants to feed you, but it's a different kind of feeding. Yet he wants to be at home in your life. Isaiah 55, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. If you have no money, just come buy and eat without money, without price. Why would you spend your money for what is not bread, wages which don't satisfy? Listen, come to me, eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance is what the New King James says. The King James says fatness. I like that one better. Nothing like a heavenly food to satisfy. Once you taste of it, nothing else tastes so good. But we're constantly warned by the Lord of feeding ourselves with spiritual things. When that crowd of people ran around the lake to get to Jesus because he'd fed them dinner and he'd been gone for a while, the Lord said to them, why do you work so hard for the things which perish or for the food which perish? You should long for the food that will bring you everlasting life. So the Lord wants to be at home in your life. Is it clear in the way you eat and desire things spiritually that he is the Lord of the house? Library, kitchen, dining room, how about the den? Where the fireplace is and the overstuffed chair and the atmosphere that's quiet where you go to relax and unwind. And you get up in the morning and you're so busy and you pass the room and the Lord is sitting there waiting to meet with you, but you're too busy. You look over and he says, hey, bring your Bible, let's talk. Maybe I can be here tomorrow. And yet, he wants to be at home. He wants to run the show. He wants to share with you untold riches of stories that will fill your heart. That couple on the way to Emmaus, Easter day, who said, oh, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us along the way? So easy in life to get so busy that the Lord's invitation to move into your house and home, you realize he's sitting around waiting for you so often, and you don't come around as often as he'd like. He remains faithful. He'll be there every morning, waiting to hear from you. After all, according to Revelation, I think it's 4:11, you were created for that purpose, to have fellowship with God. So I think knowing that God waits to have fellowship with you in the morning should be a great motivator to spend some time with him, because he'd like to make himself at home. He shouldn't be in the way. He should be welcome. Maybe you can go out to the garage where the work is done and the power tools are. Because really everything you put your hand to, God's hand is behind you and upon you to bring forth fruit that will remain. But you can really get busy doing things that really don't last at all. Important projects that leave the Lord out. He wants to be the Lord of the garage. Or the entertainment center. You got one of those? You know, the place of recreation where you spend your spare time. What are you doing with your spare time? You see, Paul's prayer begins to make a lot of sense. Jesus might be at your home, but is he at home in your home? Does he have the keys? Does he decide at night what you're going to do, what you're going to watch, where you're going to go, how you're going to spend your time? Would he be comfortable with what you're watching on television or turning on your computer? He's at home, after all. You invited him in. Paul prays for the Ephesians that Christ might dwell permanently, make himself at home in your hearts by your faith in him. There's also a storage closet usually in people's house. It's the place that you usually give up last. It's that place where you go, Lord, you can have the whole house, just stay out of that room. It's where you keep the junk you don't want to deal with. And one day the Lord meets you at the door with the fumigation company asking for the key. Come on, Lord, this is one room is mine. But he doesn't want to be a guest with limited access. He wants to be a lord of your home. So usually, you know, it's that place that he wants the most. Give me the keys or I'm going to sleep on the porch because it stinks in here. Ultimately, you have to transfer the title of your home to him. Lord, you have the whole place. You that began a good work in me will complete it in that day. I'm eager to hear what you have to do, what you want to say, where you're going to want me to go. Great prayer, though, that God may find a comfortable place in your heart to live, where he's not an imposition, where he's not always the one that brings guilt and, oh, I should have, and I haven't, but, oh, Lord, I'm so glad that you're here. Verse 17 in the middle, his third requests, that you being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, verse 17 is kind of a mixed metaphor. You know, on the one hand, rooted means plants. Grounded is usually a base for buildings. But both of them talk about stability. So Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is that they might find tremendous stability in their walks with God as they recognize God's love for them. In other words, you're on good footing if you can come to the realization about how much God loves you, if you can understand his love. Able to comprehend, it's a great word, great prayer. Able to lay hold of, able to seize upon what is the width and the length and the depth and the height? Width, how broad is God's love? Well, it includes Gentiles and Jews and murderers and liars, every culture, every color, every race, every person, whosoever will, let him come to me freely and drink of the well of life. Big arms, wide open. God has great love. What is the length of his love? Well, according to even chapter 1 and chapter 2, from eternity past to eternity future, from everlasting to everlasting. God loved you well before you ever knew him, and he'll love you until the end of time and there's no end. The depth, how deep is your love? That's a Bee Gees song, if I recall. Well, how deep is his love? Saved you. Saved me. can even reach the people you've given up on, which might be sitting right next to you. The Pauls and the Peters of our generation, the Lord was able to save. Hebrews 7, I think, is verse 25. He is able to save to the uttermost. I think Billy Graham used to say, to the guttermost, those who have come to God through him, seeing how he ever lives to make intercession for us. Wide, length, depth, height, far above anything that could destroy you, seated safely with him in the heavenlies, you're assured one day that he will gather you to himself. His love so vast, it extends in every direction, can reach every life, gives you victory in Christ, and says to you, you are more than conquerors through him who loves you. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that they might walk away from this letter just more understanding of God's love, the depth of it, the width of it, the length of it, the height of it. And he writes here that you with all of the saints would understand this. Learning through study, through fellowship, God's love. There's that Psalm 66 says, come and hear all you who fear the Lord. I'll declare what he's done for my soul. If you can get to the place where you realize God's love for you, life becomes very easy in terms of serving him. Boy, it'll change the way you live if you just can grab hold of that. And notice that Paul says here in verse 19, to know the love of God which passes knowledge. In other words, as hard as it is to understand that God would love the likes of us, it is beyond us to fully grasp how much he cares. It is one thing to know God is love and loves all men, quite another to know that he loves you. I've always had an easy thought saying God's in charge, he'll do whatever he wants. I'm okay with that until it comes to my own life. And then I have directions for him. Lord, here's what I would do. Here's what I think you should do. I believe it for everything else until it gets to me. So same thing with love. God, Paul prays, would you reveal your love to your people? Let them know without a doubt how much you love them, how deep your love, how wide your love, how much you love. In fact, here's his fourth prayer, verse 19 in the middle, that they may be filled with the fullness of God, that you might be filled to the brim, that you might overflow in your understanding of who he is, that you might not lack anything as you wait for his son to come for you. It's a great prayer. Four prayers, four cries to the Lord. That he might grant you according to the riches to be strengthened in the inner man, that you might allow Christ to be at home in your heart, find a home that he's just comfortable in, that he might show you as you're rooted in his love, how deep is his love for you that you can't really get to a full understanding of, and that ultimately that, Lord, you might fill them with your fullness. They might not lack. Now, verse 20, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever, amen. Paul, here in verse 20, realizes that all he is asking of God, God is able to do. So I guess he's practicing what he's praying. Lord, I realize that everything I'm asking for the church there, you are more than able to do exceedingly abundantly, well beyond what I can come up with. It's a pretty good grasp of the greatness of God. Whatever you can ask, he can do better. Oh, I can think of a lot of things, yeah, and he can do better. Oh, I can come up with, yeah, and he can do better. He is able to do far more. When we have trouble in prayer, I think we should probably stop and consider again who we are speaking to. I find that a lot of people restrict God to only what they themselves could accomplish. If they don't see a way out, there must not be one. If they don't understand how God might heal or solve an issue or provide a need, then I don't think he can. But look at what Paul says. He is able to do far more than I could ever come up with, even according to the power of that Spirit now that is working up. God is capable of changing us from the inside out, providing all of our needs. It is foolish when you project upon God your own limitations, or you begin to view the Lord's inability because you have inabilities. It's not the way it works. He is far more capable. And Paul reminds himself in verse 20, again, of the God that he serves, the one that spoke the very world into existence. Jude, in his little epistle towards the end of your Bibles, ended his little book by saying, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." God will get me there. If you're waiting on me to make it to heaven, I'm done. I'm cooked. I'm out of the race. But I don't doubt that God can get me there and can get you there too. And that's what we're depending on, isn't it? That he is going to get us there. He is capable when I am not. And I should never analyze the likelihood of a prayer being answered from the standpoint of my capacity or my capability. Don't look at God that way. He has riches beyond our finding out. He's able. I love the words exceedingly abundantly. If you ever say to yourself, God can't, or I don't know if he can, just try to make a list of God's of limits of God's ability. No, he can do whatever he wants. And he has the Holy Spirit living in us. So when I can't change things, God, change me. You work in me. You make this situation right. You provide for my needs. I know you're more than able, and I got to go to sleep, but I'll leave this with you. Cast your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Well, Paul ends in verse 21 with we call it a doxology. It's just a word that means a praise, praising the Lord for everything that he has done from generation to generation. To unto him be glory in the church. In other words, the church should be glorifying Jesus from generation to generation to generation. I hope that you leave here each week singing his praises. He's worth worshiping, is he not? So here's the question. Is God at home in your heart tonight? Seriously. Or do you come to church and go, I kind of hate this place. I feel so uncomfortable here. Hate when other Christians say, praise the Lord to me. I don't like that at all. Do you know of his love enough to just have all the burdens lifted? Is he working in you inside out? Are you confident that he has enough capacity in his glory and riches to make a difference, to answer your prayers, to meet your needs? All of this to get to chapter 4, where Paul says, okay, you've been sitting there and considering all that God has done. Now you got to live it out. Here, begin to walk in these things. And really, the next three chapters are all about walking in the Spirit, walking in his love, walking in the light, walking in warfare, having victory, because the Lord has given you all of these things. If the first three chapters don't find a rest, the next three are going to be really hard. But they're not really hard. God is able to do more than we could ask or think. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, how thankful we are tonight for your love for us. As we consider Lord Paul's great love for this church, he had spent 3 years there, had been gone five others. It had been almost a decade now, and yet the church continued to grow and be strong. And Paul's heart was for them, but he didn't want them to miss what God had done for them, what treasures they held in their hand and in their lives because of his love, because of Jesus' coming. To not forget that this mystery that wasn't really revealed until recently, that God would send his Spirit into our hearts, and by the Spirit, Jesus would come and make himself at home. And Lord, that was part of Paul's cry on their behalf, that Jesus would find a place to dwell, that their faith would make him comfortable, that they would be rooted in his love and growing in their understanding of how much he loved them, that you would fill them with all of your fullness, with all of your goodness. And certainly, Lord, that you would strengthen us within, make us different, do the work only you can do. And I would say to you tonight, the secret of a successful Christian life is to understand these four things. If you've given Jesus your life, that the Holy Spirit is there dwelling within you to do a work, and by his presence, Jesus would make himself at home in you. And he wants you to welcome him into every area of your life and to understand how much he loves you, how much he's for you, not against you. He has a plan. He has a hope. He's going to finish what he began. No one will snatch you from his hand. He's tolerant and patient and merciful and gracious, and he's abounding, exceedingly able to do all you need and then some. You should never go home from this place thinking somehow you're lacking. You're not. God is more than able. Don't lack. Believe what he says. And if tonight you've never given Jesus your life, you have none of these things. We have sin that's not been answered for and judgment that awaits the sinner. But don't think for a minute that's what God wants for you. He sent his son so that you could be delivered from that judgment day, so that he could give you life and have fellowship with you and come to dwell in your heart. And if he knocks and you open the door, he would come in and sup with you, and you could sup with him. But you're going to have to come and ask him to move in. You're going to have to give him the keys of the house. Admit you're sinful, and the house needs cleaning and washing, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can ask him right now. The Lord can give you life right now if you'll call upon his name. Oh, if the Lord could just be at home with us. He has so much he wants to do. He's more than able. You have an anger problem, no problem for Jesus. You have a lust issue, no problem for him. Oh, it's been a problem for me for years, but look, it's no problem for him. He's more, he exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's our God. We're selling him short because we're not really believing what he's telling us, but you should, because he can and he will. He's the Lord that we can rely upon. So make peace with him tonight. And you who have known the Lord for a long time, tell him again how welcome he is in your home. And let him make the decisions on where he's going to put the furniture and how you're going to spend your time. Let him be at home with you. Thank you.
A prayer of invitation and exhortation from our teacher, Pastor Jack Abelin. We've been listening to a study taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This has been the second half and conclusion of a two-part study. If you'd like to get the entire message, we do have that available for you. All you need to do to order, simply contact us and ask for study number 3678. It's always helpful for us to know the radio station that you're listening to, so be sure to mention those call letters when you get a hold of us. And as we journey through this book of Ephesians, which contains so many practical lessons for a Christian life, you may want to study through this book on your own. We have a resource that will help you do just that. It's our written Ephesians inductive study that will take you through on a daily basis, verse by verse, through this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. You can use this resource as a daily devotional and a way to understand the doctrinal instruction that Paul gives through this letter. So to order the Ephesians inductive Bible study, or to get today's message, just dial our toll-free phone number at 866-88-GRACE. That's 866-884-7223. Again, that's 866-884-7223. Or if you'd like, you can order by mail. Just address your letter to Growing Through Grace, P.O. Box 1954, Whittier, California, 90609. And as always, we have this and all of our resources available for you online at growingthroughgrace.com. Again, just log on to growingthroughgrace.com. Well, here's a way that you can view more of Pastor Jack's teachings at our church's YouTube page. You can find us at Morningstar CC. Again, that's at Morningstar CC. Once you're there, be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to be informed when we go live and when we post new messages. Once again, be sure to subscribe to our Morningstar Christian Chapel YouTube page to stay up to date with all of Pastor Jack's messages. That does finish up our time for today. We invite you to plan on joining us next time as we'll continue working our way through the book of Ephesians. Until then, as you daily walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, may you continue to grow in His grace. Growing Through Grace is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California, a Calvary Chapel outreach.